Welcome to I'll Marry You, a podcast with me, Olivia Coleman, full of tips and tricks from the UK wedding scene, interviews with industry experts, and a whole lot of oversharing.
I just made the fatal error of leaving my house at school closing. What do you call it? End of the school day time. Time for school to end. Time to go home. You know the time. Is it 3? 3:15? I don't know. To be honest, any time between 2:45 and 3... I don't know why I said 45. 2:45 and 3:45 is an absolute sodding nightmare on the roads, isn't it? Sodding nightmare. And I live surrounded by, maybe like 5 schools. And you know what I've discovered? Because this happened the other day. Kids are really the worst, aren't they? Teenagers. The absolute worst. The other day, I was minding my own business in my car and they just crossed the road willy-nilly. They were actually at a crossing, but they didn't think to wait to press the button. They just walked. And I was so indignant. There was like 50 of them. I was like, well, it's my right of way, so I'm just going to drive. So I didn't, obviously, but I couldn't actually quite believe it. They must have been between ages 12 and 16. And I was like, you are old enough to know. Like, even my 4-year-old knows to press the button and wait for the green man. If the green man doesn't show, don't go. Don't go without the show of the green man. Do you know what I mean? That was me trying to speak like a kid. And then now I just went out to run some errands and it was school closing time again. Same general nonchalant attitude. Absolute pits, I tell you. Teenagers, the absolute worst. People, when you have a baby, people are like, enjoy the newborn phase because this is the best bit. And you're like, F you, Karen. I haven't slept in 3.5 months. But you know what? Karen's right. It is the best bit because they're just milky slugs. They don't have opinions, thoughts, or the ability to vocalise anything they do feel. And so they just lie there. Yes, you don't sleep, they cry, they shit, they eat, but that's really all they do. Otherwise, they just lie there and love you unconditionally. And then actually, it just gets harder. And toddler, terrible twos, three-nagers, all the rest of it, challenging times. I'm terrified for the puberty, teenage phase. I believe, as does my father, that is what boarding school is for. So we need to work out between us, you and I, what scholarships we can get Lola, because mama can't afford this podcast. Don't pay enough to send my child to boarding school. However, that is the only way, because otherwise I can't deal with her. I can't deal with teenagers. I don't know if you know this about me, probably not, because you know I haven't told you yet, but I spent a year living in Barcelona and I taught when I was there. And I actually taught, I sort of helped out with like nursery age. And then I sort of was TA, I suppose, up until age 18. And then in the evenings in my own time, I taught drama and performing arts to adults. So I'd literally from age like 3 to 93. Teenagers, the worst. Are any of you teachers? Tell me if you think I'm right or wrong. Talk to me. Anyway, that was a lot of rambling over 3.5 minutes and I haven't even mentioned the word wedding. I hope you're well. I hope you've had a wonderful week. Oh God, did you watch Ant and Dec on Saturday? You probably didn't, did you? Because you're young and in love and footloose and fancy free and you're painting the town red, or as my 4-year-old says, out on the raz. I, however, am in my mid-30s with a child and a husband, and so I like to stay in of a weekend. Normally I have to stay in of a weekend because I have weddings, but this weekend I didn't actually. So we had a very nice wholesome family weekend together, but Saturday night we watched Saturday Night Ant and Dec Saturday Night Takeaway. It's the last one they've ever done in 20 years. I love Ant or Dec. I love them. I think they're brilliant, good, clean family fun. And it was ever so emotional, you know. If you didn't watch it, you should catch up. It's just really good family entertainment. No effing and jeffing from them. You know, me, I go for the easy comedy, don't I? I go for the swearing because then that's, you know, that'll get a laugh, won't it? It's a poor man's comedy show over on this podcast. So we did that. We had a lovely time. I did have a wedding last week, but it wasn't at the weekend. It was on Thursday. with the gorgeous Claire and Phil. Very small, intimate affair. I never like to use that word when I'm talking about weddings, but meh. Sort of 25 guests. Really, really lovely couple. Really, like, got on with her like an absolute house on fire. She's slightly unhinged, like myself, in, like, a really fun way. and it was just wonderful. It was small, private. Ceremony was outside. It was at Kin House, which, as you know, is one of my very favourite venues in the world. I'm just obsessed with it. And the team there are brilliant as well. So it was lovely to go back there. I've got quite a few there this year, which is nice. So that was brilliant. And then I've got a wedding coming up this weekend on Saturday at the Mount Without in Bristol, where I basically am a regular these days. But that's also a very, very cool venue for Sophie and Jack. So I'm very excited about that. But I've made time for you. Isn't that good? I messaged producer Drew this morning and I said, look, you know, last year we called time on season one at the end of April because wedding season kicked in. Now, in theory, I could afford to go on to the end of May because actually, even though wedding season has already kicked in, compared to last year, I'm relatively low key, you know, just like 4 a month rather than the 10 I have in August. So I said to producer Drew, I could in theory go on for another 4 episodes. I know, deep breaths, everyone. It's very exciting. So I think that's what we're going to do. Don't hold me to it in case I lose all inspiration or get kidnapped or something. But in theory, we've got another 6 episodes to go before we break for the wedding season. So I thought that I would talk to you today about something moderately helpful. You know, I like to think of this podcast as mildly entertaining and moderately helpful. And so hopefully this episode will be moderately helpful because I want to talk to you all about how to handle your wedding anxiety. So I did something that I suppose I should do a lot, but I don't. You are naughty, aren't you? I asked my listeners, well, yeah, I suppose my listeners, I asked my followers on Instagram if they had any experiences or advice to handle nerves, anxiety, not even just wedding related, just generally, how do they cope with that level of stress? And I got some good ones. So the wonderful, gorgeous team at a Pappardelle events in Bristol, they do the most incredible catering. And she said, I normally leave home a good hour before I need to, so I have time to chill before an event. So that is from a supplier's point of view, which I think is interesting. I'll come back to that. And then she also said something that you can't do with kids, as you cannot have a relaxing morning. Preach, girlfriend. The wedding I had last Thursday, Claire and Phil, I dropped my daughter off at childcare and the wedding wasn't till later on in the afternoon and it was local. So I had literally like 4 hours to myself. It was absolutely heavenly. Lucy Ann Events, gorgeous Lucy, has said, have a glass of something sparkly and put some great music on. Yeah, solid advice. Solid. Again, we'll go into that in a bit more detail in a minute, but put some great music on is a big top tip of mine. And then I got 2 messages from 2 brides. Izzy says, thought I'd be terrified, actually felt weirdly calm all morn until walking down the aisle. Very common to feel that way until you actually get there and the music starts and you're like, oh shit, it's happening. Do you know what I mean? And then one of my own brides, Bex, who I married recently, she says, I wasn't that nervous. I went for a run with mum and sis before the hairstylist came at 7:30. She cray cray, but also actually something I would advise. So that was really interesting. I got loads more, but those are the ones I sort of picked out. So how to handle the wedding day nerves. What made me think about talking to you about this today was that I actually had a DM in the RSVP section of the podcast a few weeks ago, asking this very question, how to handle the nerves. And I thought, because I don't plan these podcasts as much as I probably should, I definitely don't plan my RSVPs. I literally just read out the question, the DM or whatever, and then just answer. So I did that. And I thought, when I read this question about nerves, I thought, oh, I don't know if I'm going to have enough to say about that. Turns out I did. What are the odds? So I wanted to talk to you about it today because I do think it's a really interesting one. And it's something that I take time to think about, actually. I'm quite into, you know, I don't want to sound like a millennial, but not a millennial, a Gen Z. I don't want to sound too woke, okay, but I'm quite into mental health. And it's something I find really interesting. I mean, you know, obviously, given the nature of my job, that I find people fascinating. But I find mental health really interesting, how open people are about it, how they talk about it, and how they deal with it. And I think it's a very, very personal thing, but it's a personal thing that can be made public to a certain extent to help others. So I was just thinking, do you know what, today I'm just going to have a chilled out chat with you all and just see if I can help in any way ease any of those wedding day jitters. First and foremost, I would like you to identify what it is you're nervous about. If you are nervous about marrying this person, then don't marry them. Oh my God. I'm not going to tell you who, not that you'll know them, but I know someone very well who is married for a second time. And she told me that when she was in the car going to the first wedding, her first wedding, she knew in her gut that it wasn't right. And it was a nervous, anxious, stomach churning feeling. But she knew, not even like subconsciously, fully consciously, she knew that it wasn't right. And it wasn't, she wasn't nervous about the table plan or conscientious about the flowers or is it going to rain or not. She didn't want to marry him. You're probably going to have a strong feeling about that because she did go through with it. But I mean, Jesus, can you imagine? Can you imagine? I can't even get my head around the idea of that feeling. And then the feeling of, it's too late now, like I'm literally here in the car having to go through with it. Suffice to say, it didn't last. But I think what's really important is to identify what it is that you are nervous about and what it is that is giving you anxiety and causing you stress about the wedding. Because 9 times out of 10, as far as I know anyway, 9 times out of 10, it is not the concept of marrying this person that you love. You are confident in your decision to spend the rest of your life with this person. You know, more often than not, you've been together a while. Now, whether that while is like 6 months or 16 years, generally speaking, and I'm not even going to get into like set up marriages or married at first sight nonsense, whatever, but generally speaking, you know this person, you love this person, you have made the decision to marry this person, and that is not what you're nervous about. That is not where those nerves and that adrenaline and that feeling is coming from. So calm down, Bridget. Just take a breath and identify that that is not the reason. Cold feet is a stupid thing. To be honest, I've never known anyone I know personally in my life or professionally in my life. I have never had anyone say to me, I don't know if I'm doing the right thing, apart from this one friend, years later though. I've never had anyone say that. So don't worry that, unless it is that, of course, but identify it. And I'm pretty sure you'll find that it's not the actual act of marrying the person that you're going to marry, because you've chosen that. You've chosen that path. So just take a breath and first of all, identify that that is not what is causing you stress and anxiety. It is something else. It is other factors. It is outside noise a lot of the time. And actually, at the end of the day, the whole point of a wedding, apart from seeing Olivia Colman, is to marry this person. You're having a wedding to get married. So actually, identify that the getting married bit isn't the bit that makes you nervous. And that's the core of the day. That's the whole point you're there, right? So at least you've ticked that off the bloody box, haven't you? Now, I came up with the phrase, it's really taken off, fail to prepare, prepare to fail. I said it a while ago and it's just really snowballed. But, you know, I don't know who said that. Was it Gandhi? Was it the Girl Guides? Or was it me? I think it was me. Fail to prepare, prepare to fail, okay? I'm pretty sure every teacher said that to you at the beginning of every single exam and you wanted to punch them directly in the face, but they're not wrong. They're not wrong. If you have prepared for this day properly, you'll be fine. But that is key, to plan ahead, to cover all eventualities. I'm pretty sure that 95% of the time when people book wedding planners or on the day coordinators, it's to alleviate that stress and that responsibility. Because honest to God, that is, it's just, it's an annoying phrase. It's annoying because it's a cliche, and it's a cliche because it's right. But if you don't plan properly, if you don't prepare properly, then things could go wrong. And that, just the notion that something could go wrong, that is going to cause you nerves and stress and anxiety. So you have got to plan. Don't worry if people take the piss out of your spreadsheets. Do you know what I mean? Let them. Let them. The couples I have that are like, oh, I'm just going to add that to my Excel. I'm like, oh, I adore you. I don't take the piss out of anyone who's overtly organized, because if that's what you need to do, like the filing, the folder system, the Google Drives, whatever it is that you need to do, fancy notebooks, file dividers, plastic wallets, whatever you call them, if that's what you need to do, then you do it, because you have to plan sufficiently so that as the big day approaches, you know it's fine because I've planned for that. And what goes hand in hand with planning properly is to prepare the right team. So whether that's starting off with your wedding planner, and then they help you, and then they're kind of the puppeteer, right? So they kind of orchestrate everything on the day. Let them. You have to come up, and I've said this a million times, I can't stress it enough, you have to create the perfect team of suppliers. You want people that you can trust to do their job, and then let them do it. Like, I know it's hard. I know it's hard to let go of control, and it is your day and you care so much about it. You've put time, effort, energy, and a hell of a lot of money into it. You want it to be perfect. But what's making you nervous is that it won't be perfect and people won't do X, Y, and Z. Just trust that they will. Just trust that they will. Make sure that you have got the best team of people around you on their day doing their job and doing it to the best of their ability. Surround yourselves with suppliers that are willing to go above and beyond, that give a shit, that are not just there to get a job done, that like actually care about you and your partner and the success of the day. That's really, really important. And then last minute, understand that there's nothing more you can do. Like, hand it over. Give it to them. Eh? Give it to them. Your planner, like within a week before, just chill. There's nothing more you can do. You've done everything. You've planned everything. You've done a good job, Sally. Sit down and let the team do their thing. You know, oh, makeup's arriving at 8 a.m. It's 5 to 8. She's not here. It doesn't matter. It's 5 to 8. Wait till 5 past. Wait till 4 past. It will happen. It will come. And if it doesn't come, we'll come up with a plan B. You want to surround yourselves with people that behave like that and that talk to you like that. Like, not, oh my God, what are we going to do? We've got the makeup artist. Oh my God. No. You want someone to go, okay, cool. Well, I'll do your makeup. No problem. Like, you just, not just your suppliers, but your wedding party and your family and your friends. Identify the people that make you feel calm, that make you feel relaxed and steady. The people that know you. You want bridesmaids or groomsmen, you want people around you on your wedding morning that know your looks. Okay, so when your mother-in-law comes in and starts crying and you're just like overwhelmed and you're coming up with all the memories of the times she's pissed you off, you need to be able to give a look to someone and for them to understand that look says, take this bleating sheep out of this room before I clobber over the head with my bouquet. That's what you want. You want people around you that know you well enough to know your looks. Okay. It's tricky with family and friends, and it's tricky to invite the right people and to not invite the wrong people. I've had scenarios, both personally and professionally, where members of the family, not so often friends, but members of the family are difficult, whether that's alcohol involved or something else, or family dynamics or family politics or disjointed family trees. I don't know what that even means, but you know, like parents who aren't together, or cousins who don't get on, or stepsisters or half sisters, whatever. There's a lot of dynamics involved with the guest list. If that is giving you anxiety, if you are lying awake at night and you're playing out in your head, like, oh my God, if I sit my dad and his new girlfriend next to my brother, they haven't spoken in 6 months, my brother's going to kick off, then he's going to go over to my mum and she's going to talk to her, and then granny's going to get involved, and then cousin Billy's going to start drinking too much and probably vomit in the boat. Like, that is, if you haven't had those nightmares yet, you're not there yet, but it will happen. This is what you think about. You lie awake at night and you think about all these ridiculously absurd, far-fetched ideas of what could possibly maybe just potentially happen. If you are thinking that and you think it is acceptable, sit them down before the wedding and have an honest conversation. I had a friend who's had a parent who was an alcoholic, and apologies in advance if this is triggering to you, but they had a parent who was an alcoholic, and they kind of had a relationship on and off over the years, but they were getting married and they wanted their dad there, and they went to their dad 12 months before the day and invited him, and then he was still drinking, and they went to their dad 6 months before the day, and they made the very personal decision to say to their dad, I would love you to be at my wedding, but I don't trust you to be around me or the family when you are drunk. And I find it too upsetting and stressful. And so basically you need to choose whether to come to my wedding sober or not to come to my wedding. And the parent chose not to go to the wedding. So that's like a whole different thing. But the person I'm speaking about, they identified that was a serious cause of stress and anxiety. They didn't want to have that conversation the night before the wedding. They didn't want to wake up on the morning of the wedding and go, I'm really sorry, you know, your dad's pissed again. So can you imagine? Like, awful. So they had that conversation 6 months before, so that no matter what the outcome, they had time to think about it, prepare for it, go through all of the possible outcomes of it. So think about the family and friends that you've invited that you, perhaps giving you a little bit anxiety, any of your friends who are exes. It doesn't have to be a big thing. Like, if you've got a groom and a bridesmaid who used to go out and they don't no longer do, like, literally just when you see them, be like, babe, I know, sorry for saying this, I don't want to make it a thing, but like, I'm getting a bit anxious about you seeing him. So if you could just, do you just promise that you'll just be chill? Or if you're going to have a Barney, at least have it where I don't see it. Like, you know, there will be circumstances where you can kind of make a joke out of it, but at least you've said it, and you've said it in a way that is both graceful and humble and not like, this is my day, because no one likes that. If someone came to me and was like, this is my day, pack up your shit and put it in the corner, all right, I'd be like, well, that's it, I'm causing a fight the moment you cut the cake, just to piss you off because you had the audacity to question my life choices. So think about what it is that's making you anxious in terms of your guest list and identify it. Figure out, speak to your friends and family, speak to your partner. Figure out if it's worth having a conversation before the day so that you don't have that last minute stress, you know? In the lead up to the day, I think it's really important, sorry, to find time to relax. Like I say, you've handed it over, and there's nothing more you can do. You're going to have your nails done or your hair done or your tan or whatever, or this and that. Put in an evening where it's just you and your partner, and you're just going to cook dinner and watch telly and just chill. It's really important to take time to just relax and do something quite normal, because it is overwhelming. It is out of the ordinary, you know, unless you've been married a few times. So I think it's really important to just have some pockets of time where you're doing something pretty mundane and it's just you two as well. How lovely to just sort of, don't even talk about it. Like, if it comes, something comes up, oh, we must do so-and-so, fine. But just watch a film, or just go out for dinner, or just pop to the pub and have a drink in a beer garden and share a packet of crisps. Do you know what I mean? It's just something really normal. It's all systems go, go, go. And it's all, everything's heightened, all the emotions, all the adrenaline. It's all very intense. So I think it's really important to settle your nerves and your anxieties by just doing something really low key and really normal. Something you would be doing any week, not just the week that you're getting married. So as the day itself approaches, there are a few key, I don't know who I think I am, actually, to be honest. But, you know, I'm just giving you my opinion. I'm giving you my advice. I'm trying to help you out. So as the day approaches, I don't want to sound like a boring Betty, a Debbie Downer, here she goes, Gary. But you've got to sleep well the night before. Now, my tendency is to drink too much. Not the night before a wedding, just in life, you know. But actually, that doesn't help me sleep because of the sugar. So I mean, it's obvious not to get completely pissed the night before your wedding, isn't it? Like, that's a given. It happens. It happens a lot. 9 times out of 10, it happens with my couples when they are greeting guests the night before that perhaps have traveled a long way, and or they haven't seen in a while, and they get overexcited, don't they? And it's all fun and games when the drink's in your hand, isn't it? It's the next day you suffer. I'm not saying that you should get drunk the night before your wedding, but if you do, keep drinking. You need to sleep well. You need your rest. Honest to God, it's like a marathon, right? A wedding day, I always liken it to a day at Alton Towers as a kid. Like, it's just, it's non-stop adrenaline and excitement and emotion, and you're up early and you're going to bed late. It's also, it's like Christmas Day, except you can't get in your pajamas halfway through and just eat a turkey sandwich at midnight. Do you know what I mean? I wish you could. I wish you could, but you can't. So you've got to get a good night's sleep the night before. Take a sleep easy. I feel like I might get cancelled if I suggest you take sleeping tablets. So ignore that. Take that out, Drew. Don't let them cancel me. And then we get to the morning of, don't we? We get to the day of the wedding, the big day, the big day. Da 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 da. Ta-da. Obviously, when you wake up, you're going to look like a Disney character, and your hair's perfect, and your teeth are white, and your skin's flawless, of course. It's unlikely. So, because you probably haven't listened to me, and you probably slept like shit the night before because you were just awake and excited. It feels like Christmas Eve, doesn't it? Got a lot of comparisons going on at the moment. So you wake up, there will be a plan for the day, especially if you are a bride. And you've got hair and makeup, or if you're a groom, quite often one or two or whatever, the groom's party, in some capacity, especially if it's a DIY wedding, you might have shit to do that morning. So there's a lot going on, but you've listened to me in other aspects of this episode, haven't you? And you've prepared. So you have a timeline. Have a timeline. Again, don't worry about people taking the piss. Have a timeline. Have a timeline. I can't stress it enough. Have a timeline. But also be prepared for the timeline not to run to course, okay? Nothing. Nothing runs on schedule on a wedding day. That's okay. So when people say to me, I'm going to be in my dress an hour before the ceremony, I'm like, God, really? That's loads of time. That means 10 minutes, if that, before they'll be in their dress. Allow half an hour on top of everything that you think will be maximum amount of time spent. Like, do not underestimate how quickly the day will go. Time will disappear. Okay, you're in a TARDIS, people. It doesn't exist right now. So wake up and look at your timeline and do as you're told, you know. I think first and foremost, you've got to eat breakfast. And I know it's hard when you're feeling nervous and your tummy's going. You've probably got the squits, haven't you? Because, you know, like the pre-show poos, it's the nerves. It's very, the nervous system ever so connected to the digestive system. That's about the extent of my biological knowledge. And even that could be wrong. But I'm going to go out on a limb and say when I'm feeling nervous or emotional or excited, it all comes out in my ass. So it's important, even if you feel a bit sicky or funny tummy or whatever, you've got to eat something. Like just a bacon sarnie, just a piece of toast, even at the bare minimum, a piece of toast. You've got to eat something. It will help settle your stomach. It gives you 5 minutes, just sit down and relax. Make a thing of it. Like, especially if you've got your whole wedding party or your girls or your guys there for the morning, like get a little spread on, get your brunch on. Make a thing of it. Take time, because actually that's something that you should factor into your timeline, is to just relax, just chill out. Okay, just try and enjoy it. Everyone knows that the getting ready for the night out is better than the night out. That's not that wrong of a wedding day, okay? I quite often, when I get to my weddings early, I'll go in. I always go in to see the bride or groom or grooms or brides. But if all the girls are getting ready, it's slightly different vibe with the girls and the guys, generally speaking. But if the girls are getting ready and there's music going and there's booze flowing and they're just having such a ball, like the energy is infectious. It's amazing. So factor in time to just chill out and just embrace it and enjoy it and absorb every moment of it. in theory, you're surrounded by that point with all your favorite people, the people who know your looks, right? So they just be present, just enjoy this time with your favorite people before you marry the person that you love with all your heart and soul, Olivia Colman. So have breakfast and go get your hair, get your makeup. What something I would say, and I know you know that I frequent the gymnasium, but I wouldn't consider myself a gym bunny, so to speak. However, you know, I like to exercise. I went for a run on the morning of my own wedding. Didn't even run at that point. Didn't even know I could. But I just, it was only about 6 minutes. But it was the exercise that did absolute wonders, I tell you. Exercise releases endorphins. That is the second piece of biology you're getting from me today. You're getting from me today. You're very welcome. It makes you happy. It makes you feel less stress. It makes you feel better. It makes you feel positive. If I go, we're going back to this whole mental health thing now, but if I go for a run outside in the wilderness, I don't really run in the city. If I go for a run in a field and I'm not running away from someone, then I will put my music in. If I have something on my mind, maybe even subconsciously, if I feel stressed or anxious or just fed up or whatever, it's not uncommon for me to cry as I run. Like, I physically feel whatever it is that's making me feel weighed down, I feel it coming off me as I run. And so if you feel nervous or anxious or stressed or panicky on the morning of your wedding, go and have a run. Like my bride Beck said in the Instagram survey that I did, she went for a run. Even if it's not a run, go for a walk. Just go outside on your own and just take a few deep breaths. Like, just get your body moving. And now if that's not your thing, you can dance. You can dance, you can jive. That just came to me. I am on it today. Just dance. Oh my God. Dance it out. Grey's Anatomy style. Dance it out. Put on some music. Close your eyes and dance. That's another thing I used to do back in the day, you know, when I was a performer, was just dance. When I worked at the wedding venue, it was a big, big blank space. It was a tithe barn, essentially. And in the week, when everyone else finished work and left the office, I would sometimes stay behind and I would tell them that I work out in the barn. I didn't. I just danced. I just moved. I ran. I leapt. I boogied. I did whatever, you know, whatever I learned from the money that was incredibly well spent at university studying performing arts. I learned to move through my emotions. But God, it just feels so good. Like, the playlist that you choose for the morning of your wedding is key. Cannot stress that enough. And then just dance out. Just close your eyes and just dance. Like, flail your arms around like nobody's watching. And just, it makes you feel so much better. So whatever kind of exercise you can do, like to do, are willing or physically able to do, quite frankly, do it. Because honestly, it will make you feel better. Even if it is just dancing to one song that's 3.5 minutes of your life, it will make you feel better. Just don't do any sort of extreme sports. Don't go, I don't know, mountain biking off a cliff on the morning of your wedding. And if you do that, I did not tell you that that was acceptable. Okay? It's not acceptable. I had a bride last summer, yeah. And I was the celebrant, but I was also the on-the-day coordinator. So I got there quite early in the morning, about 10 a.m. And the hair and makeup girls were already there. And it wasn't a huge wedding. So there wasn't a big wedding party. But there were a lot of people around. And it was at a sort of, I suppose, rather than a wedding venue with accommodation, it was more like a house that you could get married at. It was a beautiful, beautiful Cotswold house. They had seen each other that morning, the bride and the groom. But the idea was that once each got dressed ready, they would be in separate parts of the house. And so they wouldn't see each other from then on. I went in. She was in the main house with her mum and his mum and the girls, and they were getting ready and stuff. And it was a great atmosphere. And I was making sure that she had a glass of fizz, but also had a glass of water, and I was getting her plates of food and things like that. And then at one point I went in and she was in the movie room on her own with a lot of fans on her because it was a heat wave, and she was watching Runaway Bride. I just thought, brilliant. I was like, you're right, babe. She was like, yeah, I love this film, and it's a wedding film, and it just makes me happy and chills me out. It's like, wonderful. So, you know, if exercise isn't your thing, then what about that? What about just if you always watch Friends as you fall asleep? Literally, right in your timeline, half an hour, I'm watching Friends on my own. The end, in a dark room on my own. Or half an hour, I'm going to have a coffee with my mum. No one is allowed to talk to us. Like, I feel like as a bride or a groom, this is the day where you can, you know, don't be a bitch about it, but you can be a little bit narcissistic, okay? It can be about you. It should be, I believe anyway, personally, that it should all be about you. Like, there should be no limits to what your friends and family will do for you on this day. Like, are you well fed? Are you well watered? Do you need a foot massage? Can I get you another drink? Would you like to sing to you? I've offered that so many times. No one's taken me up on it. Silly little things. So if sitting down and watching a movie in a cold, dark room is going to make you feel relaxed, then put that in the timeline, because you've got to identify what it is that chills you out, and then you've got to do it, like, legit. So whether that's exercise, whether that's some friends time, whether that is sitting down and watching your favorite rom-com, whether it's just having a cup of tea in the garden, just like 5 minutes to yourself. There was research done years and years ago. I remember reading it. I used to smoke at the time. And there was research about people who smoke cigarettes at work and how actually it was less about the cigarette and more about the just going outside for that 5 minutes, like, headspace. And it's a little bit like that. Like, there doesn't even need to be a reason. Just go outside. Just go somewhere. Have a shower and just stand in the shower. Like, just cry. Get it out. There is nothing wrong with whatever you need to do personally to help ease any anxiety and any nerves and any worry and any stress. I mean, hopefully by the time of the day itself, you've handed all that stress over to your team of suppliers or also your friends and family. Like, delegation is key. So you delegate to the people who are there that love you, to your bridesmaids, to your ushers, to your mum, to your dad, to your cousin, to your dog walker. If people say, if there's anything you want me to do, please let me help, then let them help. They mean it. If they don't say it, they don't want to help. They want to turn up looking glamorous, drink the free fizz, and then fuck off. That's what they want. But if people who are around you in the morning, so they're obviously quite close to you, and if they say, what can I do? Like, what do you need? Take them up on it. It might just be like, tell me a joke. Get my mind off it. Tell me about your latest Tinder date. Like, whatever it is, rely on people. Let go and trust in other people. They will help you. They will distract you, and they will give time to making sure that you feel relaxed and calm. I think it's really important with suppliers, but also your wedding party, that you are surrounded by people who you trust. You know, so one of the many reasons that I go to all my ceremonies at least an hour early is so that I'm there and I can go and I can see them. And I can go, I'm here. What's going on? How did you sleep? What have you had to eat today? Have you had a drink? If not, why not? What are you nervous about? Let's talk about it. Because it's helpful for people to ask those questions and to listen to the responses and to be like, okay, well, let's talk about it. So what are you nervous of? Like, if it rains, okay, well, if it rains, cool. What is it like? We go inside. Next. Like, you want people around you that are going to be very positive and very like, okay, well, there's always a plan B or a C or a D or F. Like, there's always another way of doing things. And I always think this, something that goes wrong on the wedding day often makes for the best memories. Seriously. Honest to God, that is, in my experience, if something goes wrong, someone slurs their words, not slurs their words, but someone says the wrong words, or someone falls over on the dance floor, or, you know, cousin Timmy has his first snog, or like, it's all this little, it's the little silly things, and often the things that are not planned, that make for the most valuable and meaningful memories of the day. What is it that you're nervous about on the day? I think a lot of it is, like I say, it's not about the person you're marrying, it's about the other people. and it's about performing, so to speak, in front of other people. A lot of my couples don't like the idea of the ceremony because they don't want everyone staring at them. I hate to tell you, it's going to happen. Like, get over it. It's all about you. There are ways that you can deal with that. So don't sit down, stand up and face me. Like, have your back to them. It's controversial, and there's a lot of wedding planners slash influencers out there that would disagree with me. And if you're more than happy for people to stare at you, if that doesn't make you nervous, praise be, go for it. But if you are particularly nervous of everyone staring at you when you're at the end of the aisle doing your vows or just going through the whole of your ceremony, then don't look at them. It's not about them. Like, if the idea of catching your mum's eye and her crying makes you anxious because seeing her cry makes you cry, don't look at her. And if she, like, it's not about her. So don't, it doesn't matter if she gets arsy. Why didn't you look at me? Because I was nervous. It's not about you. I was looking at my husband, my wife. Like, you don't, if that concept of having that much attention on you fills you with dread, then don't do it. Like, elope. No, don't elope. But if you elope, take me with you. Stand there, look at me. I always say to my really nervous couples, we're just having a chat. There's just three of us. Just ignore everyone behind you. At that point, it's just us three, because often the ceremony is the most nerve-wracking part of the day, because that really is the point where everyone is staring at you. And then after that, I think the thing that most people get nervous about on the day itself are the speeches. Something I fail to understand is the people that don't like the limelight. But I get it. People are terrified of public speaking. So my advice with that would be to take your time. Don't write it the night before, for Christ's sake. Write it weeks before. Go over it. Read it through again and again and again. Do not read it off your phone. Do not get so drunk before you make your speech that you are literally slurring your words and you can't think of what to say. Like, that's not a fun memory for anyone. When you won't be a memory because you will be so drunk you won't remember it. But just take your time. Lots of deep breaths. I always say to people who are nervous about speeches, my one thing that I say to them is this. Everyone is there to support you and love you and are wanting the best for you. You are a groom, a best man, a bride doing a speech at a wedding. You are not doing a TED talk at an accountancy convention. Like, people want to hear what you have to say. Okay. So just bear that in mind. They're there with smiles on their faces and food in their bellies and alcohol in the liver, and they want to hear what you've got to say. So you're already winning. The second you stand up to do your speech, you're already winning. So don't get nervous about that. That's, everyone's there because they love you or they support you, or, you know, you're there because you love the people getting married. Like, you can't lose. I mean, sure you can, but that's another episode. It's, look, I like I said at the beginning when I answered that DM, I didn't think I'd have much to say, but apparently I do. What are the odds? But there's a million things to be nervous about. Of course there is, because at the end of the day, it is a huge milestone in your life. And there are people there that you care about, that you want to have fun, that you have spent a lot of money on, that you have thought a lot about, that you have taken time over. Maybe you've been planning this wedding for 6 weeks. Maybe you've been dreaming of it since you were a little girl. I remember a quote that I found when I was a teenager, and I can't remember who said it because I, as you know, don't plan this. So I haven't Googled it. I've just remembered it as I speak to you now. The only thing worse than not getting everything you want in life is getting it. That's deep. But I think what that means is that, you know, so you have all these dreams and these goals, and then suddenly they happen. You're like, oh, it's too much. It's too much. It's overwhelming. And of course it is. It's totally understandable that you're nervous and anxious and stressed. But follow these top tips from Olivia Colman and you'll be fine. To conclude, identify what it is that's making you nervous. Deal with it in advance. Don't just ignore it and deal with it on the day. Deal with it in advance, whether that's the logistics of the planning or the people that you have invited. Identify the issue and handle it head on. Understand that everyone is there because they love you, that no one wants to see you fail. Something will go wrong. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. As long as you smile and you enjoy yourself, that you and your partner are having the best day of your lives, that is what matters. There is no need to be nervous. There is no one there with ill intent. Everyone is there because they love you and they support you, and you are about to marry the person that you love more on, than anything else on planet Earth. And that is the most incredible feeling, and it's not a given. Like, how lucky are you? How lucky are you? Do you think maybe I should do a TED talk? Definitely not at an accountancy convention. And if all else fails, dance it out. Dance it out. I'm thinking of coming up with a Spotify playlist of dance songs. I don't know. What do you think? I just feel like that's key. The kind of music you listen to really puts you in the right mood. I hope that's helped. Please don't be nervous. You're going to be amazing. I love you. Welcome to this week's RSVP. I have had a DM from Sebastian. Sebastian. I like that name. Makes me feel fancy. So Sebastian writes, my wife is maid of honour for a wedding in a month. It's a child-free wedding and we've had childcare plans in place for a year, but they've just fallen through. Our little one is going through some separation anxiety at the moment, but now our only option for care for the weekend is a couple of hours away by car with great friends who have their own kids, but who our little one has only met a few times. The question is, how much of a faux pas is it for me, as the husband of the maid of honour, not to go to the wedding? We don't know if we can afford the petrol on top of the hotel fees, let alone the risk of the kid being really upset and or being difficult for our friends. But on the flip side, it's one of my wife's best friends and we don't want to upset her. Any thoughts would be appreciated. Ricky Kanicki, Sebastian. Very tricky. Now, I've made no bones about the fact that I enjoy a child-free wedding. I enjoy a child-free everything, if I'm honest. And I have a child, so I can say this. I think, so in terms of the wedding, absolutely fine for them to have a child-free wedding. And I don't think what you're saying is that you're judging them for that. Like, you understand that that's their decision and that's fine. But your issue is with your child and your scenario. I think that if it was me, I was your wife, if I was the maid of honour and Lola, my little one, was going through some separation anxiety, which if you have a child and they've gone through it is horrible. I mean, it's also quite lovely because you get really good cuddles. It's not about that. It's not about that. If it was me, I would say for James to stay at home with Lola, to be honest. Of course, you want your partner there and you want to have fun. And of course, you want to go as well and you want to have a good time. But realistically, neither of you is going to be able to relax or have a good time at this wedding if your child is staying with friends that are a long drive away that he might not know very well, that he might get anxious from. You're just going to be, speaking as a mother, you are just going to be waiting that whole day and night for a phone call. So you're not going to enjoy it properly anyway. So I think that the best solution is for your wife to go to the wedding and have the best time with her best friend and be fully present and enjoy it, because she'll be able to, knowing that you are at home in like that safe space and that comforting space with your babe. I think that's the only thing that you can do. And also just explain it to them, like, you know, I'm sure they'll understand. Say to them, this has been the plan, but it's fallen through. And so unfortunately, I'm going to have to stay at home. Like, you can't. It's disappointing if people that you want at your wedding can't come, of course. But if it's a legitimate reason, then you can't be mad at them. Like, they're not going to be mad at you. If they're real friends, they're not going to be mad at you. And plus, you know, you're like plan B, Sebastian. They just want your wife there, if I'm honest. when you choose to have your wedding child-free, or you choose to have your wedding abroad, or you choose to have it at the opposite end of the country from where you grew up or whatever, that's fine. That's your choice. But you have to appreciate that that may mean that people can't make it for whatever reason. You know, if you're having a child-free wedding, you have to appreciate that quite often people won't be able to make it because they have to stay home with the child. Or if you're having a wedding abroad, you have to understand that people might not be able to make it because they can't afford it. So be like, believe in your decisions and stand by them. That's absolutely fine. But also appreciate that that means you might lose out on some of the guests. So I think 100% the right thing to do would be for you, Sebastian, to stay home with the little one and for your wife to go and get drunk. I hope that helps. Let me know how it goes.
Thank you so much for listening. It really does mean the world. If you find this podcast even remotely helpful or moderately entertaining, share with all your friends and family. You can DM me any questions, queries, if you want to share any stories on the podcast Instagram at I'll Marry You Podcast. Get in touch. I want to hear all your tall tales. See you soon.
I'll Marry You is a podcast by Olivia Colman. The music is Mr. Sunnyface by Wayne Jones, and the show is produced and edited by Drew Toynbee.